This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio. And it is a unique story that we are going to be sharing with you this time around. And we have two guests who are going to do that. And I think what we will come to understand as we meet them is not only the mercy and grace of God to restore us, but also how important our legacy is. And, you know, this our mission here at Cradle My Heart Radio is to prevent abortion and also to help those whom it has hurt. And that's where I was drawn into the pro-life movement, was through my own recovery after abortion. And so if you are feeling stuck and suffering and you are still in a morass of emotional confusion and pain after an abortion, I want you to know that this is a really important program for you, because we will see that transformation is absolutely possible. And in fact, that is God's plan for us and for you. So joining us to talk about their new book, Light in Our Darkness, we have Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray, the co-authors of the book, written with the illumination of Dr. Bernard Nathanson as well. Kathy, Lisa, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim. We're so glad to be here with you. Thank you, Kim. Glad to be here.
So it's a fascinating project that the two of you have set out to write a book with someone who's deceased. And Dr. Bernard Nathanson is a fascinating figure who was really a founder of the pro-choice movement. He was really active in procuring abortion rights for women at the level of the Supreme Court and later changed his mind. Kathy, let's talk about how you wove his words and his work into your book now that Dr. Nathanson has passed.
Well, that's a great question, Kim. We, Lisa and I ourselves, were had our own radio show for a little while, and we interviewed someone who introduced us to the life of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, and we had never heard of him before and were so impacted by his life, what he had done, and how God transformed his life, that we just went into research mode and interview mode and tried to find out everything we could about this man, because he's so little known and yet has had such an unbelievable impact on the lives of every American. In fact, I would say there isn't an American alive that he hasn't impacted, because everyone has been impacted by abortion, whether they are post-abortive themselves or they have a family member. Everybody's been impacted by that. So Dr. Bernard Nathanson was born in the 1920s, became a renowned gynecologist, and because of love starvation in his own past, he was, and seeing women mistreated, he was driven by this motivation to try and help women, and got swept up in the movement to legalize abortion, only to find out that his best intentions were ending in the murder of thousands and thousands of children once he saw the ultrasound and recognized what he was doing, which sent him into a season of such darkness that he himself became suicidal. But as we know, God is the master of breaking light into the darkness, and he rescued him out of that, and he spent the rest of his life in a loving relationship with God and fighting for the rights of the unborn. So he's fascinating, and we just love him.
Mm. He passed in 2011, I understand, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
You know, it is a fascinating story, and one I was familiar with, but I think, you know, I had sort of made it my business to find it out. So many people don't. They don't know that Norma McCorvey, Jane Roe, never had an abortion, that she repudiated her work in the pro-choice movement, and that she converted and became a follower of Christ and is now spending her life trying to undo what was done in her name. And they're great stories because they not only illustrate that we can change, but they also illustrate God's incredible mercy to us. Lisa, I know you have a story that involves God's mercy. Share with us your motivation, your inspiration for writing Light in the Darkness, Light in Our Darkness.
Well, you know, I've been redeemed by the Lord in many areas of my life, and I spent a lot of time in the rooms of 12-step and helping people with addictions. And I was incarcerated, so I spent a lot of time working in prisons. And, you know, I had experienced an abortion early on when my drug use really became a problem in my life. And I never really thought, as I went through these years, that I would be focused on speaking about how God healed me from abortion. I thought that my niche, where God wanted me, was to talk about overcoming drug addiction. Except the thing is, you know, abortion is something that produces a reason in your life to escape. I stuffed that shame, I stuffed that guilt down deep inside, and it wasn't until I was probably sober 6 years, working a program, had been saved, going to a church, was really working on my relationship with God, that all the shame and pain in my heart, there was just something that wasn't right. I would have nightmares. I would have these outraging points of anger. There was all this stuff, and I was like, Lord, I can remember laying in my bedroom one day and just saying, Lord, what is it? You've got to help me. Help me. All I've ever wanted was to be a mother. And my husband and I tried for 3 years to have a baby. And, of course, Satan whispered in my ear the whole time, you had your chance. In fact, not only did you have your chance, but you had 5 chances. And I was just such accusations of being a murderer and taking the life of my own children. And I can remember laying on the floor and crying out to the Lord and just saying, Lord, I want to be a mother. It's the deepest desire of my heart, and I want to be forgiven, Lord. And the Lord penned a letter to me. I got up, went, opened my journal, and I wrote. And he said, Lisa, I love you. And I would have died on that cross if you were the only one on this earth. I forgive you, and so do your children. They are in heaven with their heavenly Father awaiting the arrival of their earthly mother. And it was the first time in my life that I ever felt free.
Hmm. It is so powerful. It is so powerful. It's a message that we have tried to impart to our listeners on this program. That I first, you know, I didn't receive a personal message like that. I had a knowledge supernaturally that the Lord had received my child unto himself, and that I would indeed meet this child one day, you know. But I know many women have had this question about, well, is my how will I ever face that? You know, but Terry Reiser, in her book Solitary Sorrow and in interviews, has said, you know, the children have always been with Jesus. We're forgiven. They don't know how to not love and forgive. That's all they've ever known. And it's a beautiful story, Lisa. It's just such a beautiful story. So as we think about Dr. Nathanson's change of heart, as we think about what God did to change and heal your heart, how are his words still resonating? Kathy, tell us about incorporating his words. I know he's the author of the book, The Hand of God. He wrote about his conversion. He wrote about, I think, feeling personally responsible for, 75,000 abortions?
That's correct. Yes. You know, it was interesting. See, Lisa and I met only, I think, Lisa, you were pregnant with your first child when we met, and I was in the middle of a nervous breakdown because I, too, had issues in my life that were not due to post-abortive, but I was completely lost and felt unforgiven and abandoned and alone. So fast forward 20 years, and when we hear about this man and we start investigating his life and I'm reading his book, Lisa and I were astonished to see that the same mechanism of deception and of sorrow and of isolation and of trying to do things our way and not understanding that we're not doing it the way we were created to, we weren't living in our destiny the way we were created to live, we were all the same. And God's method, his unbelievable ability to bring us through that sorrow into that love relationship with him, where he takes that guilt and shame and he fills us with light and fills us with his love. It was exactly the same for all three of us. And so reading about him, investigating his life was really eye-opening, I think, for both of us, Lisa, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and one thing I'd like to say, Kim, something about Dr. Nathanson that many people don't know is that they invented NARAL. He was the president of NARAL in the early 70s. They literally invented the slogan, "It's a woman's right to choose." There was a group of men that sat around a table and came up with slogans to sell the concept of abortion. And that line, "It's a woman's right to choose," has been so misrepresented that it now has almost become a mantra. And people literally think that abortion is a constitutional amendment. And it's just amazing as we got to know this man who had such an impact on getting abortion legalized. But yet, when he was able to see that baby in the womb on an ultrasound, it changed his life. And, you know, it wasn't like he came to the Lord when he saw that baby. But, you know, God, he has this way, life. He died so we could have life. And when you see life and you feel a life, he saw this baby and he realized he not only had one patient in the abortion room, but he had two. And that has stuck with us so deeply that his heart was changed from someone who was so set on this and just had given his whole life to promote abortion to literally trying to rein in what he had unleashed on America.
I think this is so important because I've been having a social media dialogue with a couple of women over the last 4 days this conversation has been unfolding. And you're right. They absolutely revert over and over and over again to it's a woman's right to choose. So they will fall back on the law. They'll fall back on there's no morality. There's only preference. You know, they'll fall back on all the ideas that are incorporated in this phrase, it's a woman's right to choose. And they will refuse again and again and again to come to this point where Dr. Nathanson arrived, that there are two people involved. And they just, you know, no matter what evidence I present to them medically or philosophically about the reality and the value of preborn human life, they just won't go there. And I think that is really the heart of the matter. And I think that it becomes a matter of winning hearts. You know, they just, this intellectual back and forth that we're having is just not the answer. So Lisa, I know that as a person who's received my healing, I wasn't argued into God's arms.
Right.
You know,
right.
Someone confessed an abortion to me and I spoke the truth as well. And it was her compassion that allowed me to say, well, maybe I can bring this to the Lord as well. You know, maybe this is something that, you know, he can make beautiful for me as well. As my journey unfolded, that became my hope. You know, Lord, you make all things beautiful in your time. Show me how you're going to make this beautiful. Mm. And what the simple answer for that became speaking truth that others might know. you know, and so because now my life, I mean, my child in heaven is the one who led me to become a true follower of Christ. I had been saved, but I wasn't really, he wasn't really my Lord.
Right.
And so
right.
that little, right, I mean, 12 weeks gestation, his life has eternal meaning because he has a ministry.
Amen.
And when people begin to grasp that, I don't know, maybe it's something that can only be discerned spiritually. Lisa, talk about what happens, because I know you work with people in, who are incarcerated and also those who are in reentry. And my husband and I have done prison ministry, and there's a huge, common ground between those who have participated in abortion and those who've been incarcerated. Talk about what actually accomplishes change.
Well, love. You know, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that one of the most interesting things about our book, and one of the things that we tried to do in this book, is to tell a story, to show people how our worldview, our environment, our belief system, how it can affect you, and it can make it has an impact on the decisions that you make. So, like you said, no matter how logical your argument, no matter what evidence you show people, they're going to reject that because they've got a set view in their mind. But you know, stories change lives and stories save lives. And what we wanted to do in this book, and I'm going to answer this, will go directly into the question. In the book, it's a story of how we all three, in all three different walks of life, had a misconception about the value of life. Whether it's abortion, whether it's incarceration, drug addicts, veterans, the elderly, the mentally handicapped. In our country, we think of those people as second-class citizens, but God doesn't.
The disabled,
and,
especially,
you know,
the mentally disabled.
People. And so we, our story, this book is going to do what politics and legislation cannot do, and that is get to the heart of the matter. We don't tell anyone what they should believe, what is right or wrong, but we share our story of literally being lifted out of the pit of hell and being, you know, put next to and involved with the King of Kings. And I think that from, you know, working with people, especially people who are incarcerated, and this connection, you know, drug addiction, abortion, all of these things that you do because you're so self-centered, you end up in a situation where having people tell you what to do, they rebuke it. They're sick of people telling them what to do. And they're really sick of Christians telling them what to do. However, you can tell them your story. And your story, God can use that to just pierce their heart in a way that nothing else can. Jesus spoke in stories. He spoke in parables, and that's what changed the hard heart. So that, I believe, is the way to really impact people that are struggling with guilt and shame, whether it's abortion or addiction or any of those things, is to listen to where somebody was and where they came from and the quality and the joy that they have in their life after surrendering to the Lord.
Sure. And Kathy, I'll give you a crack at this same question, because I know you've weathered the storms of being mom of a challenged teen, as have I, you know, and praise God, we saw that storm through. But how to change the hearts and minds of those who are actively flailing? I mean, right, it's one thing
right.
if God has set you aside and now you're serving out a sentence, but it's another thing when you're actively in the self-destructive phase. How to reach?
Yes, yeah. Our oldest son was really struggling with drug and alcohol abuse in his teenage years. And because of 12-step recovery for me, what it did was take what I knew as a Christian and put real feet to it where, oh, that makes sense. That's how you actually let go and let God take care of the situation. What, for me, I see this as a very indirect effect on someone else's life. they're in my presence, for say, for instance, my son, and I treat him with love, but I cannot fix that problem in him. That is an inside job. And so what I do is I get busy doing what's in front of me that God has given me to do, and that is to help other women and men who are struggling with the same struggle share my experience, strength, and hope, and how God has helped me. And while I'm busy doing that and praying for my son and not getting so entangled in his life to try and fix him and make him see, God has the freedom to bring about people and circumstances and bring that. It's really a divine revelation in his life or anyone that we're talking about who's struggling, whether it's with that or with, you know, the sorrow from an abortion or who cannot understand that abortion is wrong. It's divine revelation because we can't get in their skin and help them see. But like Lisa was saying, you know, when someone hears your story and they see someone else and it's not as threatening to them personally, like you need to change, they go, oh, my goodness, maybe I can change, too. That's mm-hmm. exactly how I felt. And mm-hmm. it becomes, and let's face it, not one of us knows what we know today because we work so hard to know it. No, it was given to us by God. And all we had to do was show up with a willingness and to listen, and then the revelation was given to us. And that's what our hope is for those who hear our story, that they will receive revelation. We're not trying to pound anything into them, but we're just trying to help them see the reality. Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, Kathy Gray and Lisa Kratz-Thomas are our guests. They are the co-authors of Light in Our Darkness, a book informed also by the work of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who passed away in 2011, but was instrumental in founding the pro-choice movement. He later became pro-life and converted to a life in Christ before he died. You know, what's interesting to me as I interact with these young feminists, and I don't mean to label them, but that's the platform that they've got themselves staked on, that they are absolutely convinced that that is the moral high ground. And yet they, both of them at different points in our dialogue, have said, well, the rights of the mother are more important than the rights of the child. You know, when we start talking about the reality that medically we know this is a human being, and philosophically, you know, if one of us has value, then we all have equal value by virtue of our human nature, not by our development or other criteria, right? And so they would go just that far in the conversation, but then say the rights of the mother trump. And here we are with feminists becoming the oppressors, you know, with the idea of their rights becoming something that they would use to not only harm others, but to actually take their lives, and they don't see it, you know. And so what's interesting to me is that God has brought each of us who are in Christ, regardless of the road that we took, he's taken each of us who are in Christ and broken that hardness of heart that blinds us to the needs of others. And as I think about the work that you're both given to do with mentoring those who are in addiction, mentoring those who are in prison, mentoring those post-abortion, I just want to say that, you know, it's a gift to be that broken by our sin, because, you know, that's the wisdom of the Lord in sending us to the naked and the people in prison, right? We're ready to hear at that point.
That
we were just
is
talking
what we
about
prayed
this morning.
Morning. That is exactly what we were talking about. That how blessed we are to be broken. Because that's when you have total peace from the Lord. It's not you, it's Him. But, you know, going back to that, the one thing about that whole argument, you know, of value of life, one thing that Kathy and I always talk about is, does location equal value? Does the location of a child 6 inches out of sight give it less value than a mother? And that is something that you know, that people just don't, because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't have value.
We're just about out of time. I want to give you the chance in about a minute remaining just to speak directly to the person you feel most needs to hear a word from God today?
Well, I would just like to say to those women who are post-abortive that you can be healed. You can find grace. Most of all, you can find peace. And when you have peace, you have joy, and you can live your life fulfilling the destiny that God's given you. Jesus can heal you everywhere you hurt.
Thank you so much, Kathy Gray, Lisa Kratz Thomas. Their work is Light in Our Darkness, and they're helping people from so many walks of life recover from so much. Thank you so much for being with us here at Cradle My Heart.
Thank you for having us.
You can learn more about their work at cradlemyheart.org. Now stay with us. Coming up on Faith Radio, we'll open up the phones for your calls as we talk about the life issues in the news this week. Join us at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening, and thank you for being with us. We really appreciate you joining us, and I'd love to hear your feedback about the conversation with our guests who are writing about the aftermath of abortion and also how they have partnered just to draw the connection between those who are grieved and depressed and have come to not value their own lives in the same way that abortion devalues life. What a unique ministry and connection they have. You know, this problem of abortion is stigmatized. It still is. And there's a move from people who want it to be shame-free. And instead, they really behave as if they are shameless. And there's a huge difference. Shame-free means that we're blameless before God. And for us, as followers of Jesus Christ, we know that the reason we can stand blameless before God is because He has taken our shame. And because He has paid the penalty. And by His stripes, we are healed. Not only are we blameless before God, but we are healed. It is amazing good news, this gospel of what it is to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Because not only do we begin to value our own lives in a different way, a completely different way, because we're bought at a price. We see the high value that Jesus paid for us. And as someone once said, we don't want His blood to be wasted on us. And so we become fervent for His cause once we grasp everything that He's done for us. There's no comparison to denying the shame that our hearts convict us of after abortion or the shame that can lead to a debilitating depression by trying to shake it off and say, that's just other people's opinions of me, and that's just a stigma that is a holdover from another time, and you think it's morally wrong, but I don't, and what's true for you isn't true for me, and postmodern. You know, shameless is not the same thing as shame-free. And so as we're thinking about this transformation and the ground that we have to cover to become shame-free, I want to give you the chance to share your story. If you have, like me, been bought at a price and you love to tell the story, 1-800-811-3003, 1-800-811-3003. When we designed this program, we wanted it to be a safe place for people to share stories, for you to be able to call in and talk about what God has done in your life. Talk about the difference your faith has made. Maybe reach out. Begin your healing journey. 1-800-811-3003. Wherever you are, we would love to hear your story and give you the chance to tell it. But I was impressed once more this weekend about the value of doing that. I went to exhibit at a conference, a faith-based conference, and the other exhibitors were selling retail things, jewelry and t-shirts, a lot of jewelry, a lot of t-shirts. Women love to pick this stuff up at conferences, and I did my shopping. I took my items home. I've got some pretty new bracelets and earrings and stuff, but I was the only exhibitor there. I'll take that back. There was one other that was working to help women come out of having been trafficked and come out of having been victims of sexual abuse, survivors of sexual abuse. So there I was, and there this other group was. And, you know, I mean, I'm very candid with my material. I mean, my book is called Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion. We put abortion right there on the cover of the book so people would know that it's for this issue. It's for you if you suffer after this issue. And, boy, people are walking by expecting to see the next cute t-shirt, and there's our booth, and it's a little bit of a stopper, but people did stop, and they shared their stories. And I am always so amazed at how infinite every abortion choice represents a separate need of the heart. I have never heard two stories that are alike, which is very surprising to me still, 15 years on now, and hundreds of stories later. Every story is different. Every story represents a need of the heart. And, you know, whatever sin is driving those who did sin within abortion, because the woman who was coerced, I don't believe is guilty of sin. She may have been guilty of some other sin earlier that led to the pregnancy. But, of course, we know being pregnant is not a sin. And if the decision was taken from her and she was coerced, she does not bear the accountability for that sin. So when I say separate need of the heart, you know, many, if not most, will need to repent. Many, if not most, will need to confess and share their accountability in it. But there's so much brokenness and grief. And when the risk is taken to share a little bit of the story, you know, to stop at that booth with other people looking on, it's a beautiful thing. It's a really, really beautiful thing. 1-800-811-3003. So here's your opportunity to share your story. 1-800-811-3003. The scripture that is on my heart to share with you tonight is from Proverbs 10. And this was really, I think, the beginning of my healing, because I was one who chose abortion at age 23 to protect my economic future after my fiancé refused to marry when he found out that I was pregnant. And, you know, at different times it has struck me that maybe that was greed on my part, thinking that I could have a better economic future if I wasn't encumbered by a child. But I don't think that that quite fits. It was more of a desperate fear of the unknown, and certainly a desperate fear of risking reputation and even being able to have a career in the future if people would have found out that I was unmarried and pregnant back in the day, because that used to be a very shameful thing. No one did find out. I continued to prosper in the career. I was continuously employed in radio in the Twin Cities for 30 years. I was always on a top-rated show in the Arbitron ratings. I made very good money. I know I was considered something of a pioneer because I was one of the first women to do various things. I've been around a while. And the thing is, my heart condemned me. My heart condemned me about that protection of my economic future. And what the word says in Proverbs 10, verse 2, ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. I knew in my heart that one child couldn't make me poor, but that was the fear. And so I protected myself instead of protecting my child. And, you know, I don't know that I could have been reached with this truth and wisdom from God's word before I made that choice. I don't know that. But I know that if you are still trying to protect your secret, if you're nurturing your secret instead of yourself and your relationships, that can all come to an end. That can all come to an end. You may never share your story publicly, as I have been called to do. You may never reveal it in your workplace, but God can redeem it. And you can build something of lasting value when you build on your faith in Jesus Christ. Righteousness delivers from death, even after abortion. 1-800-811-3003 is our number if you would like to share. 1-800-811-3003. I heard stories of brave mothers as women stepped up to talk to me about abortion, and I heard many stories of women who know about an abortion on their mother's part. They have a sibling or a half-sibling they learned was aborted, and I want you to know that these women had such compassion for their mothers as they shared their stories with me. So much compassion. I think it's always different when we hear from a son. There's just a different dynamic in play. But every time I speak to a woman who knows that her mother had an abortion, I hear such compassion. And I want to say that to you to encourage you that if you're fearful of disclosing this in your family, that's possible. You can come to a place when you are healed and shame-free, and it becomes possible for you to be known within your family for who you really are and for your actual history. It's not always appropriate, and it certainly isn't safe to just wake up tomorrow morning and without any other help or support or direction to just go ahead and share that. That's not what I'm suggesting. Please don't do that. But I'm telling you, I want to give you a vision of hope that at some point it could be possible for you. I believe that with all my heart, that you could be free to be able to share your heart with your daughter or with your son. Proverbs 10 says, blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Again, I wouldn't label us wicked for the abortion choice. Many of us felt we had no choice at all. But we have been victims of violence, and it has overwhelmed our ability to speak after abortion. And I know this to be true. That was verse 6 of Proverbs 10. Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. 1-800-811-3003. What is your story? We would love to give you the chance. And you know, the ground rules here are always guarding your privacy, guarding your anonymity. You don't have to give a name, but would just love to give you the opportunity to share. I posted on Facebook something that I had written years ago, and it was about an experience that I had when I had joined a church and talked about the fact that I was recovering after an abortion and had women come and confess abortions to me. And again, all of their stories were so different, but what was so striking is that they were all in church and there was no outreach. There was no grief share for these women. There was no after abortion care, as many churches offer now after divorce. There were no step family resources for those who had experienced. There was nothing in the church for these women. And so when I wrote about that, and you can find it linked at our facebook.com/cradlemyheart. That's our page. Go like the page and then you'll see our updates on the news feed, and you'll get a chance to learn who the guests are upcoming each week and find resources like this one. In your church, if you are healed, are you making it a safe place for those who have been hurt by abortion? If you're in a position of leadership in your church, have you thought of including post-abortion books and Bible studies in your class offerings and study groups? Are you encouraging your pastor to preach with sensitivity to those who need the message of forgiveness and hope, specifically after abortion? Be sure to season your words with grace as you defend the pro-life position. Allow for the fact that you really don't know the circumstances, and I have as much zeal as anyone to protect unborn life. I am 100% pro-life, but we can still season our words with grace as we defend the pro-life position. And speak God's word when you don't know what to say. It will be effective. God's word will not return to him void, as we learn in Isaiah 55. So if you have a story to share, or even a question about sharing your story, call us 1-800-811-3003, and we'll get to your calls after this.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
We are here and glad that you are listening. Appreciate you so much being with us. 1-800-811-3003 is our phone number if you want to share your story anonymously or with a pseudonym, and you can make up a name for yourself. I'd just love to hear your voice and give you the chance to share your story or ask a question about sharing your story. 1-800-811-3003. It's such an important thing for us to be able to share our stories. And, you know, my healing journey was really started by a woman who disclosed an abortion to me. We were at a weekend retreat, and God had really softened my heart, and I had made a big change and made him the Lord of my life just hours earlier, the day before, the night before. And I was in a really different position toward other people, I guess, as a result. And anyway, I just struck up a conversation, and this woman disclosed an abortion to me, and I found myself just speaking the truth. She made it safe for me to say that I had done the same thing. And when this happens, you know, we find out that our isolation is just an illusion because so many people have had abortions. It is such a common thing. And so many are suffering in silence. And, you know, I don't know what your story is. That's why I'd love to hear it, love to give you the chance to share it at 1-800-811-3003. But whatever, as someone has said, whatever we can't put into words, we cannot put to rest. If you can't verbalize something that has happened and make sense of it, it stays there in the emotional part of our brains. Until it gets processed, it just continues to wreak havoc on the emotional functioning. There's a great piece in The Federalist, which again we've got posted at our Facebook page, that says what happens when people share their abortion stories. And it says, you know, yes, there are so many obstacles to opening up. So many obstacles. There's grief, there's regret, there's guilt, there's shame, there's fear of exposure. emotional and physical pain experienced immediately after an abortion is often neglected or labeled as normal. But when people even express that pain, oh, that's normal, you'll get over that, is treated as though it's a passing phase. And boy, if anyone treated you that way or said that to you, it's very difficult to bring those negative emotions back to the surface and experience them as time goes by. But, you know, when we do this, and whether it's, you know, in the safety of a supportive relationship, or whether you go through a post-abortion healing group, which I absolutely recommend that you do. You can find groups listed at cradlemyheart.org on our blog roll on the right. There's a resources for help after abortion at my personal webpage, kimketola.com, K-E-T-O-L-A. When you do, you know, there are retreats, there is one-on-one counseling, there is a national helpline that you can call 24/7. There's Healing Hearts International. Often the guests that we have on this program represent healing outreaches. But the power of unlocking our deepest secrets is what is so important. I'll tell you, understanding why we have done something changes our relationship with ourselves. We spoke about this last week with Lauren Roman, and you know, just the week before, Camille Cates here on this broadcast had said, theologically, you know, it's not possible to forgive yourself. That's not in the Bible. And then Lauren said, well, of course you have to forgive yourself. If you're in relationship with yourself, why would you not be holding things against yourself that would require forgiveness, just like other relationships? Which I think is a very practical way to think about it and to look about it, to look at it, I should say. But really, the value of being able to process in this way is that our choices just don't happen in a vacuum. And so when we look back on the mistakes that we've made, you know, then we can start to see the influences that were at play. Maybe you had no support. I really had no support. My family had moved away, and I felt I had nowhere to turn when that relationship began to end. So, you know, this idea that we need to practice some self-integration, that's a fancy term, but it just means being able to become whole, to accept this part of this chapter of our lives instead of having it always be something that's we're avoiding because it's so painful, or something that we're medicating with addiction or other types of behaviors that are not really helpful in the long run. And so telling our stories is really important. And I know you may not be ready to do that on the radio, but journaling, starting to even write your story, is it's just so important. And it is work. I won't say that it isn't, and it's a risk. I won't say that it isn't, but it's such an important part of becoming healthy emotionally. Such an important part. And that's why I really encourage you to that. You know, one more verse from Proverbs 10 as we close. It says in verse 16, it says, "The wages of righteousness bring them life, but the income of the wicked brings them punishment." And again, I'm not saying you are wicked if you had an abortion. That's a term that the Bible uses to mean people who have an entrenched evil mindset and who are against God. And I don't think that necessarily describes everyone or even anyone simply because they've chosen abortion. But there is a consequence, and that's what this verse is getting at. That when we trust God and when we entrust our future to Him, even in the most difficult circumstances, the wages, the consequence, the result for us is life. When we don't, when we feel that we can't even turn to God, the consequence, the results, sin and death. But again, that is not the end of the story. because Jesus came to give you a whole new ending. And as Pope John Paul II said in his Gospel of Life, nothing is definitively lost. Our children are with the Lord. And when you know Jesus and have accepted him as your Savior, you have this hope that he can provide a bridge to you to know and love this child that you thought you didn't want, but now wish that you could somehow hold. That is our hope. And it is a real hope, and it can be your hope. And I pray that you will grasp it today. Again, if you're looking for resources, simply go to cradlemyheart.org and be sure and take to heart what you've heard tonight. Seek your healing. It's one of the best investments in yourself you will ever make. We'll be back next week. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening. Thank you.